Welcome to Enlightenment of Change with Connie Whitman of Whitman & Associates. Here's Connie.
Welcome to Enlightenment of Change on webtalkradio.net. I'm Connie Whitman, your host. Thanks for joining us. So I hope as you've been listening week after week to the show, number one, that you feel my passion about helping you change whatever perspective you're coming from so that you can hopefully clearly see your successful future. And again, whatever success means to you. The other thing, by incorporating all of these little changes that my guests and I share with you, hopefully you can implement them immediately after the show. And my objective is to help you, my listeners, you know, build your client relationships, build your personal relationships, scale your business if that's what you're looking to do. And for me, it's really about creating the life that you desire. So I hope you're taking all these tools and using them in your professional and personal life. So as always, thank you so much for joining me weekly. Now, my quote today is by Timothy Galway, and he says, coaching is unlocking a person's potential to maximize their own performance. It is helping them to learn rather than teaching. Now, do you have a coach in your life, whether at work or at home? And what are the advantages of having a person or that person to help you move forward? And now, what if you don't have a coach, either personally or professionally? Do you feel like maybe you're missing something? And if so, what? So these are important questions that we need to ask and explore, as we move forward in our career or life and all of those things. So are you interested in learning more? Well, of course, you know, I have a wonderful guest today. And today my guest is Jeff Heggie. And Jeff is a lifelong entrepreneur with experience in the banking industry as well. Founder and CEO of Kodiak Mountain Stone, founded in 2005. We're going to talk about that. Certified business development coach. And over time, noticed that two of the areas that he seems to work the most with from a client perspective are marketing and mindset, not just that business component, which I totally agree with. He's also a big supporter and believer in personal development and self-education, which I agree with as well. Please, please help me welcome my wonderful friend, Jeff, to the show. So, Jeff, thanks for being on.
Connie, thank you for having me with you. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, and I got a little tongue-tied, right? It's a Friday here in New Jersey, so I'm a little pooped at the end of the week. But that last piece that, yeah, it's about business, but there's so much behind the scenes that goes into our business from the mindset and kind of our personal perspective. So that's why I start my show by saying, I hope my guests, when we talk, yeah, we're going to hopefully help you with your business, your career, whatever, wherever you're coming from. We also talk a lot about mindset. So I'm really glad that you're like me, you kind of toggle the two worlds, which I think are important, especially, you know, in our century right now. So first question for you is share with everybody, how did you begin your entrepreneurial journey? And like, how did you know that was the right thing to do?
Right from when I was a young kid, I always wanted to be an entrepreneur, not even knowing exactly what an entrepreneur was, but, you know, being my own boss sort of thing and kind of, you know, leading my own way. And I had a lot of opportunities growing up. I grew up on a small farm in southern Alberta in Canada. And, you know, my dad was a school teacher, but he was also a farmer, and he raised cattle, and my mom was a dental assistant, but I had a lot of opportunities to do little projects that my dad kind of helped me kind of get excited about doing my own thing. And a lot of it was based on farm stuff and whatnot. But as I got older, it was something that always intrigued me. And when I went to school, entrepreneurship was my major. And while I was going to school, I was working at a bank. But I was also, I rodeoed professionally. And so when I love that.
Go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt. That is the coolest fact you've said so far.
Well, and then so I graduated, and the bank that I was working at, because I was working as a teller just on the front end, and they said, oh, now you're graduated. We'd love you to come work with us. We want to train you to do the personal lending and the investments and whatnot. And I said, you know what? That's a really nice offer, but I want to go rodeo. And so I turned the offer down, and I decide I was going to be a cowboy the rest of my life and everything. And I had got married and we had a child on the way. And at the end of that summer, after the rodeo season, my wife and I kind of sat down and had a life talk and said, you know, I should probably get serious about life and look at a real job too. And so I went back to the bank, and I was fortunate enough that they said, yeah, we still want you. And I went through the banking route and went through the personal lending, then ended up, you know, told them I absolutely loved banking and it was a great industry. And I told my boss, you know, my goal is I want to run my own branch. I want to be a manager. And I had the opportunity that happened really quick. And so over the matter of a few years, I was running my own branch, and it was really cool because what I was doing was called a full service branch manager, where I managed the branch and everything, but I also worked with all the business owners. And so that was such a great experience because I could just sit down with business owners and just like I do now as a coach and see what they do from every aspect of their business and learn from them. And what I did was I ended up getting to be pretty good friends with some, and there was one individual that I really admired what he was doing, and he was a serial entrepreneur doing all these different things, and he knew what my desires were, that at one point I would want to do some other things. And in the meantime, while I was at the bank, I got into some real estate investing. I owned some mini storage facilities, and I'd done a bunch of other things. But one day I was sitting in his office, and he had a home building company at the time, and he had this catalog on his desk, and it was for manufactured stone. So the stone that you see on the front of houses and fireplaces and whatnot. And we were just talking about things, and he says, you know what, you should figure out how to do that. We put a lot of that fake stone on our houses. And that's what triggered everything. I ended up finding someone in Missouri that would teach me how to get into the manufacturing part of it. And, you know, I remember, so I went to the bank and talked to my boss and said, you know, this is what I'm doing. I'm going to quit this secure job with all these benefits, and I'm going to go make rock. And so
Fred Flintstone.
Yeah, exactly. And so I went down to Missouri and I got taught how to do this whole manufacturing process. And, you know, when you start a business and you're trying to bootstrap a lot of things, I was doing everything from the manufacturing to the sales to the accounting, doing everything. But anyways, I remember finishing my training in Missouri, and I was sitting in an airport in Dallas, and in my mind I was thinking, this is so easy. This is, you know, something that's going to be a snap. I'm going to get home, we're going to start producing, and it's just going to go perfect. And I remember specifically there is a color that one of my competitors had that was called Dakota Brown, and I just loved the color. So that was when I got home, that was my plan. I was going to get home and I was going to make a color that looked like Dakota Brown, and that was going to be our first color that we launched. And so we got home, and, you know, like I said, I thought this was a snap, and I got home and we got producing. And the process is, you know, you pour these concrete molds and everything, and then you go back the next day and take them out of the molds. And so the next day I was excited, I got out there ready to see this, and I, you know, the whole plan was, you get this first stone that you ever make, and it's going to sit on your shelf forever. Well, I pulled that out and expecting this beautiful brown color, and it was pink. So that was
not so easy.
That was my first realization that, okay, this isn't going to be as easy as I thought it was. And instead of sitting on my shelf behind me something right now, that's out. We started our first factory in one of my friends' buildings on his farm. And so that first rock that I wanted on my shelf is somewhere out in one of his fields as far as I could throw it. So
that's great. So
it ended up being a really steep learning curve.
Yeah.
And obviously, so this is in 2005 that we started that. In 2006, we opened another factory in Utah. And, you know, the part about the entrepreneurship is being in a business that's related to the home building industry from 2006 to 2020, you know how many cycles we've gone through in that industry. And so we've pivoted a number of times, and it's had a lot of ups and a lot of downs.
Yeah.
And so it's definitely been an experience. And
Yeah, I want to comment on a couple of things. So the first thing, it's funny that you always knew you wanted to be an entrepreneur. You're younger than me. When I was in school, you had a business major. There was no such thing as an entrepreneur major, which is just fascinating to me now that that's a major. Because really, I mean, and I know you're now in the United States, but Canada and the United States really is built on, or the tapestry of small businesses is really what U.S. and Canada is all about, right? Entrepreneurial spirit. So it's funny that you said that you kind of always knew, and your dad kind of influenced that and guided you. So like he was your first coach in essence, right? That was what the first thing I thought. Then as you got in the banking, and the reason I'm laying this out, everybody listening, is because I want you to start self-assessing and self-evaluating. What is your past to bring you to right here, right now, right, that you're listening to the show? And how can you shift and pivot if you do want to open your own business or even if you want to advance your career? So there's some good strategies in everything you said. So I want the listeners to understand that. So the other thing in the banking, right? Yeah, it was security. And I come up from the banking industry. That's where I grew up as well. And it was it still is a great industry to me. Most of my clients are in the banking and the financial industry because that's, you know, my background. But that you learned from the banking about numbers and the business piece of it, right, was invaluable, that you don't realize you're doing your job. I'm a banker. I have to learn this, right? That was critical information for you to become truly, you know, an entrepreneur. The other thing, you meeting with all these businesses and asking them questions, what'd you do? How'd you do? Why'd you do? And what an education behind the scenes that probably at the time you were curious, but not realizing they were coaching you. So yet here's another kind of coaching opportunity. And I don't know that people look at that as you have someone, in your case, your boss, you know, you had a candid conversation. I want to become manager and I want to run things because this is my long-term goal to own my own business. He supported that and coached you, right, through your career to get to that next point. The business owners were coaching you, even though we didn't label them as a coach, but they were mentors and helping you understand that whole back end and the flaws. And then the best part of the story, though, was when you went down and go, this process is easy peasy. I got this. And then you create Pink Stone. So I love it because this is where we learn. You think, I got this, man. This is so easy. I'm going to make loads of money. And then you step out and do whatever it is, in your case, creating stone. And you think, holy crap, this isn't so easy. So we need those shakeups once in a while, especially if you're going and things are going well. You're getting promoted, you're meeting people, it's all good, you're grooving. And then you need that kind of humbling moment to say, not as easy as you thought. You know, take a step back, reevaluate, and in your case, create the different stone that you now threw and is in a farm somewhere instead of on your shelf, right? So we have these great, but the thing is too, Jeff, you have to have these great visions and plans, otherwise you move nowhere. And even with the pink stone coming out, there was a lesson in that. And I know it was probably your first pivot as a business owner to say, okay, maybe this isn't as easy as I thought. What are my other blind spots? What else do I need to learn, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So those moments, you know, people call them failures. I call them successes that just didn't happen yet, or the success that it's setting you up for, right? Those failures aren't necessarily bad things. So that was a great story. My favorite part, of course, is the pink stone. And now I'm sitting here saying, dude, you should have kept the pink stone and had it on your shelf, because it was a pivotal moment for you to learn as a business owner or even people who have careers. Getting complacent, I mean, if that works for you, that's fine, right? No judgment here. But if you're looking for more, those pivotal moments happen. You just have to realize they're there, reevaluate and shift and kind of move to whatever that next piece is. And you did that beautifully, but again, you had that entrepreneurial kind of mindset, right? We go back to the mindset, right, which is really cool. So, what got you, that's a backstory, amazing, right? All of these coaches, mentors you've had along the way. So I know clearly you saw the value of coaching. How did that pivot happen that you went from making pink stone to coaching, right? How'd that happen?
You know, that exactly what you're saying about the mentors and stuff is such a vital thing in my mind. You know, the the individual I was talking about, that I was his banker and he had the catalog there. He ended up being and still is my business partner now. And awesome. He's been a great mentor for me in so many areas of my life. But even, you know, going back to my banking days, my boss there was a great mentor. Even in the introduction, you talked about how I'm such a believer in personal development and self-education. He's the one that got me started on that. When I called him and said, you know, I'm interested in talking to you about my career, he was in a different city. He was in my office that afternoon saying, okay, what do you want? Let's plan this out. And he's the one that said, I want you to start by reading. And he gave me some specific books, and that was kind of what launched me into being, you can see the books behind me.
Yeah.
I love reading now, and he's the one that did that, and he's always been a mentor for me that way. But I've also had a lot of opportunities, you know, especially once I started Kodiak Mountain Stone, having people come to me and say, okay, How did you do this? I'm wanting to do this, and kind of walk me through some of the process. And I remember people even coming to me and saying, you know, I'd love to get into real estate. How did you do this? And, you know, what were the procedures you took? I know you did this deal, no money down. How did you do it? Different stuff like that. And I loved working with people that way, and loved it when I had those opportunities. And then my partner that I was talking about, he started doing a deal in Hawaii with Brigham Young University of Hawaii with their business department, where he put on a business conference every year. And so we'd go over to that, and it was just an incredible conference, bringing everyone together. And that tied into an opportunity where I had an opportunity for about 4 years in a row to go over ahead of time or at different times of the year and work with their students on their business plan competition. Cool. And then be a judge at the business plan competition. Cool. And the cool thing about that university is it has a lot of students from what would be considered third world countries and stuff like that. So, you know, like the 1 year, the group I was working with, it wasn't, you know, a business plan competition like you'd see at most of the universities here in America. It was the individual I was working with, his whole business plan was this business of how he was gonna, when he got home, he was gonna deliver rice around his village. And so it was just such a cool opportunity to be able to work with those kids. And the really neat thing is a lot of those kids aren't kids anymore, and I'm still connected with them. Cool. You know, there's Sari that had a company called Well Africa in Cote d'Ivoire in the Ivory Coast, and the amazing things he's done. And it's been amazing watching these kids. And I just love the opportunity to be their mentors in a way.
Yeah.
But then I also...
Pay exactly. it forward, yeah.
And I also, there's a lot of times, you know, as entrepreneurs, I would sit down with my other business partner, Dave, who's our CFO, and we would discuss those successes that didn't happen, those failures that we've gone through.
Sure.
And we would talk about it. And it got to, because there's been a lot of them. Not just the pink stone. And there's been a lot of opportunities that we've sat down and talked about it. And it got to the point we'd be like, okay, that's one we've got to add into our book. And because we've talked about how many experiences we've had that can help someone down the road.
Absolutely.
That, you know what, doesn't matter if you're making stone or you're doing something else, here's a lesson we learned that could help you. And I always talked about it, how at one point I'd love to get into the coaching and help people that way. And use my experience as an entrepreneur to help people skip some of those errors and help them do sure. things like that. And so fast forward a little bit, Dave does a lot of CFO work for a number of companies. And he called me one day and he says, hey, you've always talked about wanting to coach. You need to meet one of my clients, because he actually lives close to you in Arizona. And I met him, and he used to be in a manufacturing business like mine, and actually in the home building market as well. And he ended up getting out of that and getting into coaching, and now he's a very successful coach. And I had an opportunity to sit down with him and talk about my background and trainings I had taken and stuff like that. And he just says, why aren't you doing it? He says, if you want to do it, you've got the experience, you've got the training, you've got the background. Why aren't you doing it? And I think a lot of it, you know, you get that imposter feeling sometimes, the imposter syndrome. And that was just kind of my epiphany moment that I thought, you know what, you're right. I've got all this experience that I need to share, I want to share, and I'm the one holding it back. I could be helping somebody, but I'm not because I don't think I'm qualified to help them. And so that's kind of when I decided, okay, I'm going to do it. And I started getting into it and took some more training and stuff. But yeah, it's been awesome. I'm glad that I had that moment where I decided to move forward.
And it's interesting, you know, was that a coincidence or were you meant to meet the gentleman from that coaching? Again, another opportunity to pivot and shift. And I don't think at the time we understand that, oh, I'm at a crossroad. I don't always know that it's that evident to us. And that imposter syndrome, it's funny that you say that. I was asked to be part of an anthology, a collaborative book, with everything going on with COVID. The book is going to be called Bright Spot. It's coming out October of this year, of 2020. And so, of course, I was like, sure, I'll be part of this, right? And so yesterday, I met with the coach that is helping us with the writing and our outline and brain dump and all that stuff. So I immediately, as soon as I got her name, I reached out. I'm a proactive person. And I said, listen, I was asked, but I don't know that I have a story, you know, to this bright spot. What information to see that imposter syndrome? We all have it, right, Jeff? You said it. It was clear. And she says, well, just talk to me. What were you thinking? So I started with, when I started my business 20 years ago, you know, having two babies, that was a pretty risky thing to do, you know, but I did it. I wasn't really afraid. I had a safety net of a package from the bank I was working at, you know. So was that like really something so cool? I'm thinking, big deal. And then fast forward with COVID that I shifted and I'm creating another division of Whitman Associates. I'm going to have a membership site. I'm teasing, and in the book I'm going to put this, Whitman University, and I put in the book, I'm open to suggestions because it's kind of boring, right? Whitman University. But after she and I talked for 20 minutes, it was a 20-minute conversation, she says, well, I think you got a really good story, blah, blah, blah. And she started pulling all these things that I said that I thought were no big deal. And she said, you realize you have a decision-making formula. And I'm like, I do. Like, I was like, I do? And went, seriously, this was just yesterday. And when she went through, and I'm like, well, yeah, that is how I make a decision. I look at the risk. I'm not afraid of risk, but I look at it and I kind of examine it through a couple of steps. And then I make my decision, you know, hopefully an educated decision at the end. Should people need that tip? Because everybody doesn't have that decision-making process. Jeff, I was blown away. I've been in business for 20 years. I've been using, according to her, this process over and over. Who knew? So that's the other thing. When you talk to someone, in this case, she's a writing coach, they see things that we don't see because we think somebody's going to see I'm an imposter. Somebody's going to think she doesn't really know what the hell she's doing, or he doesn't know what the heck he's doing over there. So that fear, that self-talk, right, that mindset, those beliefs, all of those things hinder us from moving forward. So I love that you decided to coach. You didn't look, and this is another thing I'm learning, right? If you make a decision to go into business because you're going to make a crap load of money, beware. When you make a decision because you're passionate about something and there's an opportunity to make a living from it, but it's the passion first, not the money, that's where I believe success comes from. And for you, through that whole story, it was wonderful. Learn. And then how can I give back? The kids in Hawaii and that university, right? Paying it forward. It wasn't about how can I use this experience to make money later on? Doesn't even enter our minds. It's coming from this heartfelt place of how can I make a difference? How can I help that next entrepreneur, that child, you know, who's trying to create and bring back to their third world country something amazing? It feels good, man. It just feels good.
It does.
What is your favorite part? So thank you for that. I just wanted to regroup it again. And you said the imposter syndrome. I was so happy you mentioned that because we all have it. And anybody listening, if you think that you're the only one, you're out of your mind. I have the imposter syndrome always. Are they going to find you out? Are they going to find me out? I am so transparent. Like, what are you going to find out, right? I don't hold anything back. My husband says I need to find a bigger filter when I talk, right? But we all have that hesitation of, I can't do that, I'm not good enough, you know, I won't be able to handle it. What was your, what is your favorite thing, if you had to pick one thing, about being that entrepreneur, but really being that coach? What's your favorite thing, if you can kind of nail it down?
Transformation. I love it when, and this is where it goes, what you mentioned in the intro, is a lot of times someone will hire me and say, you know, I need to work on this biz, this piece of my business, you know, we need to do all these things. And that's what we end up working on. But so many times, just like the imposter syndrome, just like what you're saying with your book, you start looking at that and, okay, what are the challenges? Well, it comes back to you. It's your mindset, and we need to get that going right. And once we've got that going right, then yeah, we're good. We're good, because we can fix the business side of things once we fix your mindset and, you know, get to that point where those questions you're asking in your head, where you can recognize right from the beginning, okay, I'm asking those questions that aren't helping me move forward, and they're actually holding me back. And when I can recognize that I'm actually doing that, then I can change that conversation that's happening in my head, and then I can move forward. And so that's really, you know, almost with every client I work with, there's a point that you're working with them and all of a sudden you see that they get it. And then you start seeing the transformation with them, their personality, with their whole character, everything. And then it rolls into their business and they can really start to move forward. So that's my favorite part, is when you can help them see that and then help them make that transformation.
Yeah, and it's, you know, when you're too close to a situation, it's really hard sometimes to see with clarity, right? The water looks muddy. That as soon as you talk to, you know the answers, but you don't know the answers because they're kind of hidden on you. And as soon as you talk to someone like you and you ask that right question, and they look at you at the aha moment, and you see the light bulb go off. You see it in their eyes, and you think they got it now. And they look at you like, what? Like, where did that come from? It was there the whole time. Just, it's hard to see with clarity when you're too close to the situation. That's why I think business coaches are important. I think it's be careful on who you hire as a business coach, because, you know, I know, like you, there's a lot of people out there, I'm a business coach, and they don't know jack, right? So just, we have to be mindful of that. You want to make sure you hire someone like you, like a Jeff, who's got, you know, 100 years. I'm joking, because you're not that old. You're younger than me, clearly. I have to watch that. But, you know, you have all of this depth and rich insight and knowledge and things you've gone through and resources that you have currently that you can reach out to for help, depending on, you know, what the business owner potentially needs. As a coach, what do you think your biggest reach or impact could be? Because I want people to understand, when you're hiring a coach, this should be the ulterior motive, if you will, of the coach, not the money piece of it, right? So what for you do you feel is your biggest reach and impact that you make with your clients?
I think that goes back to what we were just talking about a moment ago, is the mindset and belief that, you know, because no one starts a company without having huge dreams, right? You start that company with all these dreams, and then you get into the business side of it and the day-to-day operation. And, you know, I work with some, being in the home building industry, I get an opportunity to work with a lot of, you know, contractors and stuff like that. And I'll see people that say masonry, they work for a masonry company, and all they see is, oh, my boss is making so much money and I can do everything he's doing. And so they leave and they start their own company to do that. Well, and then all of a sudden they realize there's the business side of things, right? And all their dreams are gone. They want to just go be an employee again, because they start, they're working in the business rather than on the business. And so what I really like is when we can really make that transformation, when that dream can be sparked again, because they've put things in place, they've got the mindset that they know where they're going and how they're going to get there.
Yeah. You need a roadmap. You can't just throw crap against the wall and say, hey, let's see what sticks, because the problem is there's time and money involved. And when you're wasting time and you're not doing what you should be doing for the business, right, focusing on the business, you're losing money. So time is money, yeah, from a business perspective. So if you could have that roadmap through this coaching experience, I do think that's really important. So here's my next question. I'm looking for a coach. Let's say I have people who are either in a career working for someone and, like you, saying, I need the stability, I have family, I have mortgage, all of those things that are real. Someday I really want to open my own business. Or you have the business owner who thinks, gosh, I should be scaling, I should be growing. It's not. Why? Right? So to me, that's too, no matter the scenario, business owner or you're an employee of a company, right? You know, extending your or growing your career. What should they look for in a coach? Like, what questions or what should they look for before they hire someone? Because you don't want to waste time and money on a coach if they're not going to help you move forward, right? Because time is money. So opportunity is lost. So what would you say to that?
You know, I think as a coach, that's one of my big advantages is I haven't been a coach from day one. I've been an entrepreneur. Whether it's, right, you know, even I look at my real estate career and it was so perfect. I had nothing going wrong. Everything was perfect. And this was for a number of years. And I just loved it. I mean, like, best business in the world. Nothing can go wrong here. And then all of a sudden, one day, I get a situation where I had a tenant, and I'd never dealt with anything like this where I couldn't get rid of them legally, and, you know, and I wasn't getting paid, and I knew there was things happening that were illegal, and, you know, but the whole legal process to finally get them out of my building, and then when I finally could, I mean, I had to gut the place and had to. And all of a sudden that made me realize is, okay, here's a touch of reality.
Yeah.
So I think one of my biggest strengths as a coach is my experience as an entrepreneur, because when you're looking for a coach, you need someone that's been through it. And whether it's in real estate, whether it's in, Kodiak Mountain Stone, the different things I've been in, I can relate. And that's, I think, one thing. You need a coach that, one, you can relate to on a personality level, that you can get along with and you can open up to.
Agreed.
But they can also relate to what you're working in. You know, maybe it's not, you know, I don't work with anyone that's in the stone business right now, but business is business. There's a lot of things that I've been through in business that can relate to a lot of other businesses, right?
Yeah.
So I think that's probably one of the most important things is, what is their background? What is their experience? And is that background and experience something that's going to benefit me? And I think also that, you know, what's the track record? Have they helped people do the things that you're trying to do? And, you know, I actually had this question a while ago. Someone asked me, and as we got into the conversation, part of it, I think, is a coach that is continuing to learn as well. Like, on my own side, I am a believer in continuing education and those sort of things. And I'm always trying to learn more. And I've got one client that it's nonstop that will, as we talk every week, I'm telling her, this is what I've been studying this week. And, you know, this is probably something you could apply to your business. And, you know, I'm not ashamed to tell her it's not my brilliant idea. It's something I've learned from someone else.
Absolutely.
But I think it's really important to continue learning.
Yeah, and I think that humbleness is critical as well. I know when ever I'm coaching, right, people will say to me, you're so good at it. And I look at them and I think, geez, you know, look at the experiences that I've had. Do you think it's always hunky-dory? And, you know, my first book is coming out July 16th, 2020. Again, we launched it. We're launching it. And you know, in the book, I'm candid about, yeah, you know what, I screwed up here. Hey, but guess what I learned from it? So I think you have to be humble. I think you have to be candid, and you have to let people know, you know why I know this? Because I did that incorrectly. So let me help you not hit that pitfall. And I have met so many coaches where they think they know it all. So to me, that is an immediate red stop sign or a red stoplight saying, whoa, something's not cool here. Because any coach that thinks they know it all, to me, that's dangerous, because we have to grow and learn. And during COVID, Jeff, you and I were talking before we started the recording. I can't tell you how many online classes I did, how many challenges I did to learn about different ways to pivot my own business that I knew nothing about. It was a real education. And talk about feeling like, how did I not know that existed over there? Because you're so focused on doing your business every day, right? And running your life, your family, you know, all of those things. You gotta learn every day. So that's another thing I say. If someone says, I've got all the answers, I've seen it all. No, you haven't. Because, and look at COVID. So any coach that says they've seen it all, come on, that's ridiculous. Because we don't know what tomorrow is going to bring, you know, on a global scale. So I love how you're humble about what you bring to the table. And so everybody, I'm gonna pitch my friend Jeff here, just because I think he's freaking amazing, but because you're trustworthy, and I think that you come from a place of care, and you want all of your people that you coach, you know, to become their greatest self, and whatever that means to each of the people you coach. So I think Jeff is a good choice, by the way, because I know I'm going to embarrass you now. But you know, Skype and Zoom are a thing that is in our lives now, and everybody knows how to navigate. We're out of time, but Jeff, I want to share. Guys, go to Jeff's website. It's jeffhegge.com. So JeffHegge.com. If you have specific questions for Jeff, please email him at Jeff@JeffHegge.com so he can answer any questions. Also, you have, I think it's on your website. I mean, I just get it in my inbox every day. You're doing like a little video series of things to be mindful of, things to focus on during, you know, times of change. And that's through your website, Jeff, am I right?
It is. It's called My Daily Success Strategies.
Yeah, I love it.
It's actually, so I do, it comes out on video and you can subscribe to that, but it's actually on iTunes or Apple Podcasts and Spotify and everything as well. So yeah, that would be great to have you follow me there.
Yeah.
And if you don't mind, one other thing, you talked a little while ago about a roadmap. When COVID started, one of the things I was really thinking a lot about was exactly that. There's going to be a lot of people that need a roadmap of where they're going, how they're going to get there, and what's going to happen through all this. And so I've got something that right at the beginning of COVID, I produced it, and it's called my Momentum Series. And it's a free series on my website at jeffhegge.com. And so, yeah, it's something that helps you figure out what your roadmap is and to move forward.
Yeah, and I again, I watched that as well, and I try to comment. I said to Jeff, I watch them, and then I try to comment, and they're wonderful. They're wonderful sequences of information that you share, and it's just, you kind of have a candid conversation with the camera, but you have a candid conversation about different things to be mindful of, and I love them. I think they're great. I love your disposition. You're very calm, and you're very clear on how you articulate the idea. So, guys, check it out. Yet another free resource for you to help figure out, you know, should I be a business owner? Should I? Well, how should I communicate with my boss? All of the, you'll get information from Jeff's roadmap or template that he's sharing on the website. So again, jeffhegge.com. Also, please go to my website, whitmanassos.com/CSA, and take your communication style assessment. Yet another free resource for you to help you improve your communication skills and how you show up in the world, both personally and professionally. So you get a report. It tells you your superpowers and it shares your blind spots. We need to be aware of our blind spots as well so we can mitigate and navigate them. So go find out. Are you a heartfelt advocate, a stimulating motivator, an innovative organizer, an observing designer, or a precise assessor? Yes, exactly. Which one were you again?
Innovative organizer.
Innovative organizer, yes. I'm a stimulating motivator and my innovative organizer, they like to fight with each other. So I'm rah-rah, and then the innovative organizer is the CEO. We got to get to work now, right? So you have this balancing act in our head. So guys, check it out. Take it. It's free and yet another free resource. I hope all these resources help you navigate change and success for you, whatever that means to you. Jeff, thank you so much for being on, sharing, and just being your very cool self. So I always appreciate our time together. Thanks again.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me.
Yeah, we'll do another show. We have good mojo, you and I, so we'll definitely have to do another show.
Awesome.
Absolutely. And you guys, I hope you will join me weekly as we question, build, and discover together that change. It's inevitable. How can I navigate it? And I hope the tools, resources, the folks I have on, myself, our stories, all help you figure that out, whatever that is for you. And I hope it inspires you to want to change and become your best self. Again, whatever that means to you. Thank you so much, Jeff. Thank you all for joining us this week. You've been listening to Enlightenment of Change with me, your host, Connie Whitman, on webtalkradio.net. I wish you all an inspired week. Please use the resources and the tools that we share on the show. Make that change right here, right now, and commit to it, okay? See you next week, everybody. Thanks again, Jeff.
You've been listening to Enlightenment of Change with Connie Whitman of Whitman & Associates. To learn more about Connie, visit her website, whitmanassoc.com. Thank you for tuning in. We're glad you were here.